This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. For many, the country's political divide has become intensely personal, dividing families and even breaking up Thanksgiving traditions. We all know the old adage about avoiding politics and religion at the dinner table, but it seems harder to do these days. And quite frankly, it doesn't seem to be working. Jason Jay has a different idea. Embrace those hard conversations, but do it in a way that might actually bridge the gap rather than widen it. Jay is a senior lecturer at the MIT Sloan School of Management and director of the Sustainability Initiative there. He's also co-author with Gabriel Grant of the book Breaking Through Gridlock, The Power of Conversation in a Polarized World. We spoke with Jason Jay last November, but the conversation and the advice are just as relevant today. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
As I was watching your TED Talk and reading other things about your work, I had kind of my own aha moment where it suddenly seemed to me that if we take sustainability, not in the narrow sense of just ecological sustainability, but just really broadly, the sustainability of cultures and societies, conversation is perhaps the most essential and fundamental tool for sustainability.
You've said something that I think is really great, which is to really understand conversation and relationships in this wider conversation about sustainability. And when we think about, you know, relational sustainability, it's about how can we keep conversations on track? How can we keep people engaged with some modicum of trust and respect so that it's possible for us to attack these big, complicated sociopolitical, socioeconomic, environmental issues where we do seem to be quite divided. And, you know, I think this is an essential task and essential skill for our time. And in fact, the work you mentioned, the book that Gabriel and I wrote, I mean, this really started out as a project about how to help people who are trying to drive change on social justice, on environmental issues inside corporations or other kind of professional contexts, just help them to be more effective in, you know, engaging a CFO to invest in renewable energy. And then, you know, as we've gotten into this complicated political moment, the techniques there have really stricken a chord with people who are trying to, as you said, have a conversation at their Thanksgiving dinner table.
Well, the image on the cover of the book is a fabulous metaphor, and it's two, you know, like speech bubbles, but instead of being complete circles, in the middle they have, you know, the male and female puzzle piece kind of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like they would fit perfectly if one of those bubbles just flipped upside down. But
yes,
the way they are, they don't fit together at all.
Yes.
And it made me wonder what your vision is for the end goal of a conversation. Is it for one of those people to flip so that the two pieces fit perfectly together at the end?
Yeah, I love that you're asking me this question because my views on this are evolving over the last couple of years as I've been watching what's happening with our civil discourse and in my own conversations with my extended family. My personal background is that I come from, I was born and grew up in Boulder, Colorado. I've lived in San Francisco, California, and in Cambridge and Newton, Massachusetts. So just by virtue of that, you can kind of guess my own political upbringing. But my extended family, you know, particularly on my mom's side, came from, you know, evangelical Christian conservatives in Indiana, North Carolina, and Florida. And that's my, you know, that's some of my uncles and cousins and friends. And so I have certainly been aware of there being people with different perspectives and yet that we all love each other and share our grandparents and great memories and everything else. And so we're sort of thrown together in this situation.
That extended family situation, I think you're not at all alone in that. And we tend to come into these conversations. Part of the reason that they feel so frightening and intractable is that the possibility of anybody changing their mind seems really slim.
Yes. So, you know, you ask the question, like, what's the goal? Are you trying to get one person to flip so that the puzzle can fit together? And, you know, I think that's a provocative image and a provocative possibility. I would say that in a way that's kind of an inroad for people because they want to learn how to be more persuasive and how to get people onto their side. I've come to believe that on any given issue, there might be two sides to the issue, you know, whether it's abortion or climate action or gun control. There are two sides to that issue. But then there are also, kind of at a more meta level, there are two approaches, two sides to how we can even deal with that conversation. One approach is to engage in dialogue and negotiation and compromise and innovation together. And the other side is to polarize and demonize the other side and sort of get stuck. And that's the problem that I'm taking on. To get people from this kind of polarizing mode of discourse to just getting people into some degree of conversation with one another that has some degree of respect and compassion for how people came to their points of view, what their values and concerns, their worries and fears, their hopes that underlie the political positions that they take, that might allow us to explore for some common ground or at least some negotiated truces on certain issues. If there's a flip to get the puzzle piece to fit together, for me, it's the flip from kind of demonizing and polarizing to having some possibility of understanding where people are coming from and then getting into that space of conversation and negotiation. I was very inspired. There was a conversation that happened between Pope Francis and Barack Obama on the topic of abortion, which is just such a hot, polarizing issue. And one of the things that they sort of came to as a common ground was that abortion, when it happens, is a tragic, sad, sometimes risky thing. And we would like there to be fewer abortions in the world. And that was, or at least the two of them saw that as a common end. Now, you might have very different ideas about the means to get there in terms of legislating versus, you know, contraception and sexual education. But that notion that we might have common ends but different means is huge progress. That's, I think, of the flip that we're sort of hoping for.
I'm talking with Jason Jay, director of MIT Sloan School's Sustainability Initiative and co-author of Breaking Through Gridlock, The Power of Conversation in a Polarized World. You've created kind of a conversation roadmap, a step-by-step, here's what you need to do to have these more effective conversations. Can you kind of walk us through, what are the steps for preparing to be in a situation where you might be confronting some of these difficult conversations? And once you're in it, you know, what are the questions you need to be asking yourselves and some of the things you need to be saying or doing to make the conversation go better?
Okay, so I would say the first thing is really to get clear on what your intentions are. If you're walking into a situation where you know there are some differences of perspective and opinion, is your goal to avoid the issues and keep the peace and have a comfortable dinner that's, you know, stays in the common ground of your relationship, which is actually totally fine? is your goal to start a debate and push and pull and see if you can get some sort of a change to happen in the other person's point of view or your own?
I mean, that's really important, though. I mean, you just said possibly see a change in either the other person or yourself, being open to the idea that you might change your own mind.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, what would you like to learn? You know, what I think many of us are mystified on either side of the political spectrum. We're mystified that people could have the points of view that they seem to have. And I think it's a really great goal to just learn and listen. It's really hard to kind of just bear witness to another person's perspective if you're ready to sort of see it as, as racist or as sexist or as homophobic, you know, on kind of one side, or as anti-religious and unpatriotic and, you know, against law and order on the other side. But I think curiosity is a great goal, but it's a hard one. I do want to just say, though, that, you know, I'm not advocating that everybody goes in and sort of makes their Thanksgiving dinner table a context for debate, for political debate, and turn it into, you know, crossfire. One of the things that we have found is that the only hope you have for a productive conversation is to start from what we call sort of a foundation of relatedness. when I've gone to have political conversations with my cousins, for example, like the first half hour of the conversation is just about our kids, about our lives, you know, about our grandmother who's just passed away and how we might be able to keep the family together before we get to how can we keep the country together when we have such different points of view. But there is no relational context to share if you haven't had any shared experience of just being in family and friendship together. So, you know, I think it's perfectly valid to have a holiday dinner that's just a holiday dinner that builds the context for a conversation that might happen later. I also think that, you know, sometimes these conversations, the learning dialogue, they can be done in large groups. Sometimes they're easier to do one-on-one where there's fewer variables at play and you don't have the dynamic of, again, having people who are on your side that you're trying to score points with while you're engaging with the other side, because that's a very real dynamic when things start to polarize. So, you know, maybe you leave it alone. I think that's fair. I think it is useful to be explicit about that, though, because one person can drop a bomb and the moment of sort of choosing to either let it slide or confront it is very fraught. And I think hosts of these gatherings, hosts of these family gatherings, should be really clear and transparent about what they want to have happen and set some ground rules and say, you know, look, we know that we all have some different points of view here. If we want to have those conversations, let's do it in the part where we're in the living room after the dinner, but not right during the dinner. Or, you know, let's set these things aside and really focus on where we share common experience and common ground. I think it's a host's prerogative to set some of that tone.
My guest is Jason Jay. He's director of MIT Sloan School's Sustainability Initiative and co-author of Breaking Through Gridlock, The Power of Conversation in a Polarized World. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Okay. Thanks for having me.